Good morning, evening everyone, and welcome to the week two of the Smart Healthy Women Academy Soul Reach program. If you're on the webcast, write your name in the chat box and say hello. If you'd prefer to speak, then either dial in by selecting a local number if you visit instantteleseminar.com/local, or if you're on Skype, you can just type join.conference in your dial-in pad and you'll get connected. You actually do have to put in the conference code. The conference code to listen to this is 846002#. So we've just had one apology. Therese Taylor, who's in our group, is unable to join. So thanks, Therese, for letting us know. I'll just wait to see if anyone else is around to join. Hopefully it's a good time for people. If you prefer a different time, me to set up these calls, I'd welcome the feedback, so to get in touch either via the Facebook group or via email. So you can always email me at info@smarthealthywomen.com and I'll get straight back to you. We will wait for another 10 minutes or so to see if anyone's around to join. And if not, we might terminate the call early, but just wanted to find out from you guys, how are you going along with the course, how are you finding it, are you navigating it, is the technology working for you, what are your insights, and what is the workload from the course, how are you handling that, is it too much, is it too little, would you like more? I do plan to do some screencast videos. What we'll be doing later on is talking about the technology of getting your website up, getting your mailing list going, or basically any part of the technology that you might be struggling with. You know, we can certainly adapt the course to suit you in terms of what you need to get your online business going and your online presence happening. There's a lot of pieces to put together into the puzzle, and I've done quite a few of these myself multiple times, so I'm quite comfortable to talk you through them, especially if you get stuck in one piece of it or another. But just to recap a few of the things that we talked about in this week's session. So first of all, we're looking at the five blocks that you may be experiencing towards building your online threat presence, and these are pretty common blocks that people will find, but certainly nothing that we can't overcome. We talk about the importance of your content. First of all, there's a saying that's going around, I suppose you've heard it, saying content is king, and content obviously is very important. If your content is rubbish, then not many people are going to want to follow what you've got to say. It really does have to resonate with your audience. But the problem that I see is that people tend to get overwhelmed because they think they have to produce content every 5 minutes, or new, fresh content every five minutes. That's not true. What I would recommend that is more important is to get your key message, really focus on that, and work on getting that so that it resonates with you when you talk about it. You're passionate about it. When you talk about it, you know your stuff. And it's a key message, and whatever your key differentiator is. So, for example, if you work in the area of, say, as a yoga teacher, or you want to expand a yoga business, what is it about the yoga business? There's a lot of yoga teachers out there in the world today. A lot of competition and a lot of sameness, I guess. So what is your differentiator? So is it going to be that you do a particular style of yoga, or is it going to be that you target a particular niche in yoga, as in who your ideal clients are? So if you like to work with busy mums, if you like to work with children, if you like to work with executives in an executive setting. So what is it particularly about your expertise that you differentiate yourself with, and how do you do it differently from other people? And that's the core message, I think, that's going to drive your content and make your content even more special and stand out from the crowd, because it is really difficult to differentiate yourself in a lot of areas, you know, that people tend to work in. So what makes it special, and how do you particularly connect with your ideal clients? So once you have your content message or your core message, you can actually expand on that. So instead of trying to reinvent the wheel every week in your blog or in your writing or in your practice, if you have a really solid core message, then you can expand out of that and create content in different formats around that message. So, for example, if you have a blog post that you wrote that's getting really good comments and interaction from your audience, then how do you actually take that blog post and repurpose it, basically? And that is by creating a slideshow about it. You might pop that up on SlideShare. You might create an infographic about the information in there and pop that up on Pinterest or Instagram. You might create a series of tweets that can lead into the content and just have a link to your article, for example, or a link to one of those other formats where you show a visual representation of your message, of your core message, or your article itself. If you're doing, I've seen some really good infographics being produced out of, you know, 5 tips to do this type article. So you just take those 5 tips and create a visual about the 5 tips, and then link that infographic through to the main article so they can get more information. If you're using Twitter, it's really good to work out what hashtags are going to be of interest. So how does your article connect to the trending hashtags that are out there? That's a really good way to get some more leverage of your article through a different medium again. And in terms of Facebook, we had a question earlier this week on the Facebook page about how to publish on LinkedIn. And I've given a detailed answer there to Pina about how to create a LinkedIn pulse post. Normally, if you create a blog post, you can link through. You just put the URL as a status update in LinkedIn. And when you do that, it actually will give you a small picture from the page if there is a featured image on the page, and a small blurb from the beginning of the article. So that's enough sometimes to get people to click through to your blog. But other times it's a good idea to use LinkedIn as actually its own platform and create your article in there. And it has more impact, and you will get a lot more interaction than just sharing a blog post URL. So, but what I suggest you do is try both methods if you're on LinkedIn. And also, you know, the audience on LinkedIn is quite different to the audience on Facebook. So you need to learn, in terms of your connections on LinkedIn, what content people are going to respond to. As you know, LinkedIn is very much career oriented, but there's a lot of good information on there in terms of businesses that use it. So, you know, it is a really good platform to showcase your business and what you do in your business and how you differentiate yourself. And that's pretty much what we go into in Module 2, in the main core of Module 2. And what else we're talking about is, I see a lot of authors and coaches and so on out in the market that come out and say they've created programs, they've created content, and they've noticed that someone has actually copied them. So, and you know, this is quite upsetting for people that have worked really hard on their core message, and I understand that. However, that's something that you're not really going to be able to stop. It will happen. I suggest you contact the people that are doing it if you do find out, and ask them to remove the content or acknowledge you as the original source. And pretty much that's all that you can do. If you find that it's happening a lot, then you may have to take other options. However, when you produce an original piece of content, that content is it's an implied copyright. So, and the fact that you would put perhaps a copyright notice on your articles as well should give another indication that that article is your work and shouldn't be stolen. My other take on this is that not to be too concerned about this if it happens. I mean, it is flattering, obviously, if people think that your information and your work is that good that they have to steal it. They can't actually produce that themselves, but they won't be able to sustain it over time. So you sort of need to get a bit of a thick skin when that happens. As I said, certainly let them know and request that they take that information down. However, it's up to you to actually, well, it can be a motivation for you to create more and more content because you don't want that same message being out there everywhere. And the other thing is too, if someone's stealing your information and making money off it, then I don't think they're going to be able to keep delivering as you can, because it's your authentic voice, it's not their authentic voice. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about and that I cover in the second module is the connections that you make with social media and how you can use that to grow your business. Now, I see a lot of people on social media that are very one-sided in their efforts to promote themselves. So there has to be, in my view, a willingness to cross-promote people. And a lot of you do that already, which is really great. However, just remember that when you're looking at people's information and reading it and appreciating it, then my suggestion is if you do appreciate it, then, you know, if there's a way to show your appreciation, like on Facebook, you can like that content or share it or comment on it. And, you know, each social media platform will have something similar. So with Twitter, you can retweet someone's tweet or you can favourite it. And that's giving them an indication that you appreciate the content. And what happens by doing that a lot, and not doing it inauthentically, but, you know, what I do is when I go through any of the social media platforms and I see something that does resonate with me and I appreciate it, I try to do an action that demonstrates that. And sometimes we forget to do that and we're so busy looking at our social media stats and finding out how many likes we got and how many comments we got, but we forget that we've also got to do that. As I said, I know a lot of you already do that really well, but it's also a point to be made. The other thing is, if you're connected in a community of like-minded people, so we've created this academy here, for example, and we also have an author's contribution page on Facebook, but in terms of, you know, that community, there is a community there. It may not be huge, it may be, you know, quite small and intimate. It depends on, you know, the focus of the group. But if you're all wanting to grow your business, grow your reach, then one of the easiest ways to do that with your community is to agree to share each other's work. Even if you are or you may be in competition or you see yourself being in competition with someone, the fact is it's a big world out there and, you know, it isn't a small pot of potential clients or your potential audience, and you really need to sort of get, if that's your experience and you think that there is a lack of people out there and you have to fight other people off, that's a bit of an old paradigm and you need to get over that. So just decide that you're going to be generous with your work, you're going to be generous with your community, and if you all do that, then suddenly you've got, you know, if each of you have 100 people, you know, that follow you and you share 99 other people in your community's work to your 100 people and they do the same thing, then suddenly you've got a direct hit of 10,000 people instead of 100. And, you know, obviously some of you are going to have more, some of you are going to have less, but you get the idea. And, you know, then once you've reached those 10,000 people, those 10,000 people are going to have 100 people each. So this is how the virality works, and I'm sure you understand the viral nature of social media. But if you can engineer it at your community level to actually make sure everyone is on the same page and everyone is willing to be generous, not only with their information but with their sharing ability as well, then you will see real results there, and that's how to make it work. It is being open and willing to reciprocate. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about is, as the publisher at Smart Healthy Women, I actually get a lot of people that are submitting articles for possible publication, and some of them go through, and some of them I never hear from again, which is interesting because, you know, I try to get back to everybody. And what I notice is sometimes I just get one article from someone and then I never hear from them again. Or I'll hear from them a year later and, you know, they still want to contribute articles and things like that. But the fact is, you actually have to, if you want to be found, if you want to expand your reach, you're going to have to approach a lot of publications and not just put it out to one. So even, you know, I give an example in the module about the Huffington Post, for example. So for some people, that's, you know, that's the pinnacle of getting published on an influential publication. So, you know, and, you know, that's quite a reasonable expectation. They've got over 40 million female viewers per day on their site. So it's certainly something worth cracking. However, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it, right? So if we take that as an example, it is worth writing your best content and submitting it. I mean, you never know what's happened. There's a lot of surprising things that happened with people. If you check the internet and find out how many people are actually getting published and how they got published, there's a diverse way, number of ways of doing it. If you're in the position to attend the blogging conference where HuffPost have got a presence, then they often give you insider tips about how to get published. But the thing stands that you should actually make yourself familiar with the types of articles that Huffington Post will post, especially in your particular niche. So make it a study to go along and see how people are, the people that are being published, what they're publishing, the topics that they're publishing, but also how they're presenting it, how they're writing, you know, break it down. So, you know, how do they introduce, what's their title, is their title sensational, does it make you want to click through, and compare that to your own work. So when you read your own titles on your articles, does that compel you to actually click through and read it? And all these things are going to make it work more in your favour. There's no guarantees, obviously, for any of these things. However, it's certainly worth your while to make this a part of your education in terms of how to get more hiring publications or for publishing. And you can actually grow your readership a lot and very influentially if it works out well for you. You can also find that nothing happens. It depends if your articles are featured by the editors there, if they find that it's feature worthy. And what also happens with these types of articles, and what I find with the magazine, Smart Healthy Women magazine also, is that you often get articles that we call evergreen articles. So, you know, they're articles that maybe I've published a year ago, and they're still getting hits every single day because it's relevant to what people want to know. So just remember, with your content, you can either make it timely. I mean, this time of year, you look at a lot of people writing news resolution type articles, and those types of articles obviously only have a lifetime at this time of year, but they could apply from year to year to year. So if that's what you intend, then probably leave the mention of the year out of the article and just make it more generic as to new years. That gives it a more evergreen capability. Otherwise, just make articles that are at day-to-day concerns of people. And if you looked at the module one, in terms of how to search in Google, you can use the keyword tool. We're going to do a class on that later on when we get more into the technology in terms of how do we find out what people really want, what are they searching for. It's all very well for you to say, this is what I want to write about and this is what I want to know. But if the auditorium's empty when you're talking, you're not going to have much of an influence there. So just remember to keep your audience always at the top of your mind and what concerns they have, what they're searching on in Google is always a good signpost towards that. And I also gave a bonus tip in this module in terms of being consistent. So one of the best practices that you can do in terms of your writing is to make it consistent. So if you write once a day, if you write once a week, if you write once a fortnight, or if you get up in the middle of the night when the kids are asleep and write then because it's the only time you get quiet time, then do that. But make a date with yourself. Make an appointment with yourself to actually write. What I find when I'm writing articles is that the procrastination problem can actually prevent me from sitting down in the front computer. And as a busy person, as I'm sure you are, there are always things to be done. And if it's not the housework, it's the work, it's the clients, it's putting content together and all these things. And each of these areas has a place, and I need to find a time for them. So it's really important to actually make a decision, make the intent, and then stick to it. And that's what I do when I find that I sit down in front of the computer. I can write an article in 20 minutes. It's just making that appointment with myself and prioritising that. So not sure how you work with your writing practice, but I suppose the important thing is to be consistent with it, keep producing, and you will see that over time you actually will have a lot going on with your content. You'll notice that your content will evolve, will grow. You may start writing about things that you didn't even know that you were writing, you intended to write about. And particularly if you're doing your morning pages, as advised in the first module, you will be able to see how your writing is developing and maturing and being more succinct, being more consistent as well. So certainly all good practices to do. You actually have to decide that it's important enough for you to do that. So you've joined this course for a reason. Have you done the work? Have you done the exercises? Have you given the feedback? And it's like that with everything that you say yes to. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with Danielle Laporte, but she put out a video recently where she's talked about the things that you say yes to. Everybody's busy, and we're busy with things that we say yes to. And as women, we tend to say yes to everything that we're asked. And we've got to stop that, really, because the priorities in your life, first of all, start with you and your family and your business. So if you find that your life is too busy with things outside of that, then you have to look at what things you have to drop and start saying no and mean it. So work out what is important to you. Are you spending enough time on that? And if you're not, why not? Really get into working that out for yourself, working out how to manage your time better. And that's one of the best ways to do it is stop saying yes, basically. So with that is the first main content of module 2. And we also go into how to make sure your articles are found and read and shared. But I suggest that you continue with the module, continue working through them. If you have any questions about the content, about the call, then I suggest that, or even the timing of the call, if you'd like to suggest a different time. I know that we've got people in lots of different time zones that are sitting down for this call, so the timing may not be ideal for you. So certainly willing to consider feedback on that. So do let me know if you have any questions. Again, if you have any suggestions, what you particularly want to know in terms of the concept of this program, and hopefully you're making strides in your content creation and your business in general. So I'm going to sign off now because we haven't had anyone join the call. We'll do the same thing next week unless we get some feedback, but this call will be placed up onto the program website so you can listen to it again. So I really hope your week's going well. Happy New Year to everybody again. It's the start of a brave new world, I think. We've got so many possibilities ahead of us, and I'm really looking forward to working with you all and also to meeting you on one of our calls here. So take care.